Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So, Seth, how have you been this week?
I've had a great week. We've had some summery weather here in Orlando. We had about 3 days of fall, and then we got right back to summer. And I took advantage of it by making 3 trips to theme parks in 3 days, which is something that I used to do all the time, but I have not done in many, many months. I still felt pretty safe. Crowds are, you know, the crowds have definitely come back, but I spent a day at Universal. I took a friend who hadn't been there for a while, and we did, across the two parks, we did 16 rides, the Bourne Stuntacular, 2 haunted houses, and crepes, all in 8 hours.
So, what crepes did you get?
I got the vegan crepes. Ooh. And while they were tasty, and I think they're a pretty good portion size for the cost, it takes way too long to get those things.
Really?
We had 5 other people in line ahead of us, and it took 35 minutes to get served. So, yeah, it's, you know, maybe if you can get it right when they open or in the, like, weird middle of the afternoon, but it's pretty much there's a line all through Central Park no matter when you go. It's a shame. They built something that was really popular, but they just didn't build enough of it.
Build another one, Universal. Come on. And then expand the offerings.
But I got to see something else at Universal that I think we're going to talk about a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a pretty good week in the parks.
It seemed like it. Well, while you guys had summer, we had fall, like intense turn on the heat in the house fall.
Wow.
Yeah, it got super cold. We just had like the most intense cold snap, which was great for Halloween. It made it feel very in season, I guess. I went and voted, so that was cool. Yeah. And now to not think about Tuesday until Tuesday.
So the big question is, how many trick-or-treaters did you get?
Okay, here's the thing. There are a handful of kids that live on my street, and they are all remote learning at home, so they're home all the time. So the neighborhood kind of got together to do like a socially distant trick-or-treating, like scavenger hunt for them. And nice. We just like threw candy at them.
So. That's kind of awesome. Did you get like have a slingshot? Aiming for the soft parts?
I just chucked them at the kids.
Yeah. Overhand or underhand?
Overhand, always.
You don't even give them a fighting a chance.
No.
We and our neighbors, we set up card tables on the sidewalk at the end of our walk, and then we kind of set more than 6 feet back on our front step and had pre-wrapped bags of candy spread out for kids to pick up. And I'd say we had somewhere between 2 and 3 dozen kids, which is not as good as we'd have in some years, but better than we've had in others. So
that's awesome.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. And I saw 2 kids completely independently dressed as Sam from Trick or Treat.
I love that.
So that character, Universal might want to bring that haunted maze back some year. He's making a comeback.
I saw a Mario, Luigi, and a Peach as a group of children, and it was awesome. It felt very like, oh, that's happening again.
I was also very happy. We had a little Spider-Man, and when I asked which one he was, very emphatically said Miles Morales, not Peter Parker.
So, aww.
Rock on.
I loved that Into the Spider-Verse. Super excited to see the Miles Morales game come out in 11 days. It's when I get my PS5.
I'm more and more tempted by the PS5.
Do it.
If it was backwards compatible with all the PS4 and PS3 games, I would be more tempted.
not, I wouldn't say all, but many, if not most, of PS4, and I probably a handful of PS3. You'd have
just gonna have to make do with my Quest for now.
Yeah. But without any further ado, let's get into the news. Yeah.
I can't get over the fact that we can hear that now.
Now it feels right. It feels like we are fully, we're at our final form. If we could just get like the intro in at the very beginning, if I could figure that out, that would be great. Starting off, Legoland Windsor Resort has announced a really cool new theme park land for next spring called Lego Mythica World of Mythical Creatures. And all they really showed was this little teaser video, but it's going to be filled with all sorts of fantastical creatures. And something that's interesting about this land is that they kind of developed it working with children and parents who visit the park. So it's got a very family-oriented kind of thought into it.
Yeah, apparently this is something that they've been doing research for a year. And you know, for one, it's really ambitious that anyone's going to be opening a major theme park expansion in 2021.
So right.
Bravo to them for that optimism. It's cool that this is a new Legoland that is not a copy of something that we've seen in Legoland in Florida or California or New York. So it's kind of cool that each Legoland resort around the world gets its own unique identity.
Yeah.
And this will definitely help out the Windsor property.
I can't wait to see actual like concepts of what will be in the land or what kind of rides they'll offer.
Yeah, they're super vague. You can't really tell what's going to happen. Maybe this will be the Legoland version of Forbidden Journey, because there's definitely kind of a little, you know, Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts vibe to the teaser.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, Legoland parks were the very first to have Kuko Robo Arm rides. They had a stationary version of that in California long before Forbidden Journey. So who knows?
That would be cool. We'll find out in spring 2021. We also got a look at Everglazed, the donut joint coming to Disney Springs. It looks really cool. I love the donut garden outside, though. I wonder in our current climate how crowded that's going to be.
Right. I am afraid that this is going to turn into something that is so Instagrammable and hopefully tasty, but to be honest, people are going to be buying these for the photos.
Yep.
That it's just not going to have the capacity to handle. I'm seeing this concept art with five tiny little tables where I feel like they need 50. You know, if these taste as good as they seem to look from the from the pictures.
Here's a look at the photos. The s'mores one. Yeah. I feel like I was born to eat it.
I mean, this is basically their answer to Voodoo Donuts over at Universal, and we've seen what kind of lines that Voodoo Donuts can attract.
Yeah.
I got a little quibble with their press release. You know, they kind of talk at the end about how, oh, well, we talked to your diet, and your diet is going to have to take off. First of all, I think it is possible to integrate donuts in a sensible diet. And
everything in moderation is fine.
And to Voodoo is able to make vegan and gluten-free donuts that are very compatible with people who have restrictive diets. And I really hope that this doesn't mean that Disney isn't able to do the same.
Right.
Offering those kind of options makes these kind of things a lot less restrictive. And
yeah.
You shouldn't have to feel guilty about having a donut while you're on vacation.
On vacation, of all things.
Exactly.
So if you guys don't know, this is being built in the former location of the Pop Gallery. So if you've ever been inside, it's not a big place.
Yeah. Pop Gallery was known as either the place that you passed by while exiting the Orange Garage.
Yep.
Or the place you killed time in but did not actually buy anything in while waiting for your movie at AMC to start.
Dang.
Sorry, if you had purchased something instead of just shopped around, then they would have still been there.
Yeah. I'm also getting some City Walk vibes from these hanging lights here.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much.
The Edison bulb.
Yeah.
Strings, yep.
Well, we'll see once it opens. They haven't said yet. They've just said soon. So we shall keep an eye on it. You'll have to go get an Instagrammable donut.
I will chug a gallon of nitro coffee for you.
And then you'll be awake for the rest of 2020.
Right.
While Disney World's famous gateway signs have already gotten a refresh, I believe they started painting the day that they announced this.
Yep. Wasted no time on this.
Yep. starting back on October 26th, they started repainting the gateways to a silver and blue theme, mm-hmm. And changed the banner at the bottom to "The Most Magical Place on Earth," which, if you didn't know, is Walt Disney World's tagline, because yes. Disneyland is the happiest place on earth.
Don't mix those up. show yourself off as a complete amateur. Yeah, I think the new color scheme is fine. It's totally in keeping with the new look for the castle and a lot of the merchandise that we're going to see coming out. That blue is kind of, I think you're going to see that blue a lot over the next year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, it just gives people another reason to slow down their cars or, God forbid, stop at that location to take pictures. It's not safe, folks.
Don't do it.
Yeah, just keep driving. Don't hit the brakes when you see it, no matter how pretty it is, please.
When this got announced, I was on Twitter and someone said it looked like Walmart. Like they saw it and they think of Walmart because of the colors. And now every time I look at it, that's all I can see.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of primary. I don't know, a very, very bold and... I can see that connection. Now that you said this, I won't be able to see anything else.
Now everyone listening and watching, you'll think the same thing, and then I won't be alone.
All right. Well, I'm sure it'll only be around for the next 10 or 20 years.
Right, and then they'll change it again. Rise of the Resistance has updated its virtual queue process again.
Keeping track, I don't know how many evolutions this is. But,
I think this is the third one.
Hopefully they're getting it right this time.
Let's hope so. This one, I would love to get your thoughts on it, because I can see why people would be like, yes, this is awesome. But then I could see why other people would be like, this ain't fair, brr, brr, brr. Starting on November 3rd, guests will be able to book a virtual line place for Rise of the Resistance without being in the park first thing in the morning.
So you still are going to have to wake up early, because it's going to happen at 7 a.m. and I'm sure it's going to be over by 7:01 a.m. But in theory, you'll be able to do this from your bed. They've said conflicting things, and I think whether me and the other annual pass holders in the area like it depend largely on whether you're going to be able to do this from anywhere or whether you have to be somewhere on Disney property.
Yeah.
As long as I don't have to drive there and be there at 7 a.m., I'm going to love this system, because I want to know before I leave the house whether I'm going to ride Rise of the Resistance that day.
Right.
But as long as there is not a GPS lock, which they've not confirmed, but that's the best information that I think that you're going to be able to do this, even if you're living 30 minutes away from the parks. The real question is, how many people will just abandon their park pass reservation for the day once they don't get that 7 a.m. boarding pass, and will Hollywood Studios finally be a reasonable park to visit? Because it's with so many people trying to be there for that 10 a.m. drop, and then they say, figure, well, I'll go on a few rides while I'm here. Every ride in the park has more than an hour wait by the time the park is supposed to be open. If this can help spread attendance out more evenly throughout the day, I'm all for it. I know I wasn't able to get a boarding pass the last time I went, and I do not enjoy Toy Story Mania enough to go back to the park without that opportunity. So this would definitely be an improvement for me if it works.
Yeah, and if you don't get into that 7 a.m. non-inside the park virtual line thing, it will reopen at 2 p.m. that same day as usual, but you have to be in the park to get a spot in that one. So
yes,
keep that in mind.
Which is, it's tough, but it's doable. I have some friends who are in town just today, and they managed to make it in. They got a backup boarding group, but they did get called.
That's so awesome.
Miracles do happen. Dreams can come true, kids. Wish upon a star speeder.
Busch Gardens Tampa has started to announce various offerings for this year's Christmas Town, and many of them will now be open air activities.
I'm actually kind of into this. I didn't have the greatest time at their Howl-O Scream this year because I felt like without the haunted houses, there just wasn't enough content. But you know, you don't have haunted houses at Christmas. The lights are perfect for a walkthrough. I don't mind a socially distanced meeting with Santa Claus because I don't need to sit on his lap. And seeing how this is included with annual passes and other forms of regular admission, it seems like a real winner.
Yeah. It will run from November 20th through January 3rd, 2021 daily. And there will be a preview weekend on November 14th and 15th with light displays and select entertainment offerings. And there's a handful of things, usuals that you can expect to see every year, but they are reformatted to take place outside.
I got to see the Fiends show at Howl-O Scream in the festival field, which is where they're going to be doing both the fireworks show and the Christmas on Ice show. And I will testify that that is a huge space. It is perfectly possible for you and 1,000 other people to all have 6 feet of distance around you. I'm not sure how much of the ice skating you will be able to see from the back of that festival field. I wish they would put up maybe some super jumbo television screens to help with that. But you'll definitely be able to see the music or hear the music and see some of the lights.
Yeah.
Little blurs spinning in the distance.
If one of them jumps, you might see that if you're in the back. And then contact-free photo opportunities. You get to meet Santa with his mask, socially distant, of course. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and friends will be appearing. The original Christmas Town characters will also make an appearance. And the Sesame Street guys will be showing up as well in their cute little scarves and winter hats. And then for holiday foods, this donut kebab. I need it.
There's a lot of good food items on that list that talk about spoiling your diet. This
right.
will definitely get your holiday weight gain started early, and that's okay. I personally would go for one of those lanyards. They do a sampler lanyard, and when you break out, it's like $50 for 10 samples. It's definitely a better value than say the Epcot Food and Wine Festival foods.
Yeah. So definitely check that out this holiday season later this month if you are interested. We all need a little bit extra Christmas this year, I think.
This like especially this year, Halloween is sort of blurred right into Christmas. Like I was there on Halloween Day, and already the Grinchmas stuff is up at Universal.
Oh my gosh.
And speaking of Universal, Halloween Horror Nights.
We have a look at a house for next year.
Yes.
It's called Puppet Theater Captive Audience.
This, like so many other things at Universal, kind of slipped out and got published before I think it was supposed to, and they got pulled back down, and then it got published again. Now we are all permitted to see it. And it's pretty cool that obviously this has to be at the point where they realized that they had this maze that they had designed for this year's Halloween Horror Nights, and that wasn't going to happen. So rather than just mothball it, you know, they staffed it up with actors and brought in Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead, and got him to go through the house with Mike Aiello and Charles Gray from Universal's Entertainment Department, and to both document what the maze was and to tease guests about what we're hopefully going to get to see in 2021 when this pandemic is over.
All the puppets are so freaky.
Yes. Like, this is kind of one of those, probably not as common as Fear of Clowns. Mm-hmm. But yeah, creepy puppet stuff. There's so much variety. And from the little bits of this maze that we can see in this video that got released online, it looks like they've basically found everything that you could be scared of with with puppets and put it all into one house.
Yep. It also, I just love like the theater macabre thing that they're going with. Mm-hmm. And there's one portion that they show in the video where you're in the orchestra pit and the stage is above you. I love that. That was so cool. Yes. I love when they play with perspective like that.
As a theater geek, I'm very excited to see their take on this.
Maybe you should do the scare cam for this one next year. Well, keep your eyes peeled for that one, because so far that is our only confirmed house for next year. And speaking of houses, the white whale of this year's Halloween, Beetlejuice, it happened. It happened for 2 days.
there was more rumor and speculation and anxiety and just a deep emotional drama surrounding this haunted house than anything. Like, I think a lot of people have had a very stressful year and have a lot, you know, had invested a lot, you know, whatever, sunk their hopes and dreams into this.
Yeah.
And for those that were able to see it, they maybe like got to purge some of this anxiety through it. Thanks to you know, Matt and Quinn and the amazing team at Attractions Magazine, I got to do this experience that unfortunately far too few fans actually got to see. When you have something that kind of this anticipated and it only runs for 8 hours a day on 2 days, not only that, but as far as I know, passes for this went just as quickly this morning as that they did yesterday morning. So basically, if you weren't there between 7:45 and 7:50 in the morning, you're not getting to see this. Like, they sporadically dropped a few random extra passes during the day, but basically the virtual line system that they used meant that unless you were very lucky or very well informed, you were not going to get to experience this haunted house this year.
I'm having flashbacks to my first time getting Rise of the Resistance boarding passes. The lead up to this thing actually opening, it was so unlike any speculation for a Horror Nights house I think I've ever experienced. People really needed this.
Yeah.
And needed something fun and whimsical and spooky to kind of take away from everything else going on. There's not an official video out yet, though I think someone said on Twitter that Universal was filming sequences for it, for a little video or something like they did with Tooth Fairy and Brides. So maybe we'll see that.
So I don't want to rub it in that I got to see it and you didn't. But without giving any spoilers, you know, as someone who's been a lifelong fan of Beetlejuice, I got to see pretty much everything I would have imagined to want in a Beetlejuice house. It is scary, yes, but it is more, it is fun and imaginative and just wacky and totally captures the look and the spirit of the movie. There were more than one moment where I just stopped and had to clap because I was just so happy to see something. You know, if you know the movie well, there's lots of little touches and details. I so hope that it does come back next year. The only way that opening a house like this for only 2 days makes any kind of sense is if it is somehow involved in a contractual obligation in order to bring it back in the future. Because, you know, with so few people allowed to go through it, so many people upset about not being able to go through it.
Yep.
You know, they didn't make money off of this. They didn't make a profit off of opening Beetlejuice today, or for this weekend. So I just hope it means that it's going to come back in the future. And if it does, it will be worth the wait.
I, as you guys know, I'm not a huge fan of the haunted house thing. But from what I've heard about this one, because your review of it, how it's like everything you would want as a fan of the movie, has been pretty much the same thing I've heard across the board.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it, depending on if they put a video out and I can like see it. Maybe. And then if it's safe for me to come down there, we'll see what happens.
What I'll say is that, yeah, it's got some jump scares. There's some parts where, you know, stuff comes out at you, but yeah. Then you recognize what it is and you're so happy to see that creature or that character design from the movie that you're like, oh, I remember that, and you're too happy to be scared. So that's kind of the way I felt about it. And I especially love how they once again have a live actor on a microphone improvising to set the tone for the maze.
That makes me
and
happy.
That yeah, and it's kind of like having the old Beetlejuice show where he would get to improvise with people in the audience before the show started. It was great having that back.
Well, I hope I get to see it. I'm so jealous that you did and I didn't.
It will be worth riding out the rest of this year and making it to 2021, if only to get to say Beetlejuice. One more time. Beetlejuice.
I'm going to write it on a sticky note. Must make it through 2020 for Beetlejuice.
Priorities.
Some interesting things are happening over in Europe right now. Mm-hmm. Disneyland Paris has announced its second temporary closure due to COVID-19. Things are starting to spike over there again. So they closed on October 29th at end of day. And, they are still taking reservations for the holiday season between December 19th and January 3rd, hoping that they will be open at that time, but they haven't said that they have a guaranteed reopening date.
So that confused me a little bit.
They
don't think it's going to be safe or proper to operate their resort from now until Christmas and from after Christmas until February, but Christmas week, I guess pandemics have to have holidays too. I don't know. Maybe the virus is just taking a week off.
The virus gets Christmas off, I guess. Yeah, because the park will be closed until December 19th through the 3rd, mm-hmm. If things are safe. But then it closes again on the 4th through February 12th.
Right.
So
you'd think if it was going to be safe enough to open on January 3rd, it would still be safe on January 4th. But
right.
Maybe they just are counting on everyone showing up, having a super spreader event, and then heading back to their province.
Great.
I don't know.
We're gonna keep an eye on it, but it is not the only theme park in that side of the world that has announced closures. A handful of parks in Italy have shut down, including Gardaland in Verona and Sea Life Aquarium and all three of its hotels are closed for the rest of the 2020 season.
Yep.
Mirabilandia Park and Movieland Park and the Aqua Park in Verona are also closed until 2021. And I don't know how to say that. Do you know Cinecittà World?
I think that was really close, and I am not going to embarrass myself by attempting to do better.
Okay. Thanks for validating me. That's in Rome. They still hope to open later this month on November 28th when the government closure order for theme parks in Italy is lifted.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that we might see more of this through the winter.
Yeah.
It could get worse before it gets better. I know Dr. Fauci has been saying that about our country, and you know, they in Europe, even countries that thought that they kind of had a handle on this, we're seeing them going back down into shutdown mode. It's definitely, you know, scary, both from a public health perspective and for a tourism industry.
Yeah. We're definitely not out of the woods yet. And then I saw this on Twitter today. Europa Park is going to close tomorrow on the day that we're recording this, November 2nd, until November 30th. So
1 month.
Yeah. And then I guess that could be extended if things don't get any better or if the government restrictions are lifted and they're allowed to reopen. So it's kind of a wait and see game right now. Man, I just want this to be over.
I will simply note that the employees at these parks that are shutting down in Europe do not have to worry about fighting with a state's computer system in order to get their unemployment.
Oh, wow.
the way we do in Florida. And they also don't have to worry about if being unemployed means they won't have health care. So,
what?
Yeah.
America.
Yeah, so, you know, even though they're going into shutdown, they, you know, the employees at those parks still have a social safety net in most of those European countries that we don't necessarily have here. But.
Well, that's it for me for news in the queue. And then for the main attraction, Seth, you felt it important that we discuss this week.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is something that we're going to look back on years from now and say, you know, this was a really important turning point. I wrote an article this week for the upcoming Orlando Weekly, where I call, you know, October 28th the day that Disney Entertainment died. It actually kind of started on the Tuesday night, the 27th. We started seeing it in, you know, on Facebook and Twitter, and it was just all day Wednesday last week. People finding out that they have lost their jobs in Walt Disney World's entertainment department. Chiefly out of the union performers, the stage managers, the actors, the singers who were part of Actors Equity. There were, I believe, like 780 of them, and now 720 of them lost their jobs. So you're talking basically 92% of the people that you saw performing in the parks are gone overnight. You know, most of these, or pretty much all of these, were shows that had not yet restarted after the parks reopened. These folks were furloughed, but they were still getting their health insurance and some other benefits, and all of that goes away as of December 31st. And some of these folks, I mean, we're talking about for shows like the Beauty and the Beast at Hollywood Studios or the Indiana Jones or the Hoop to Do Review. You know, we're talking 20, 30 years of having stable employment, people raising families, contributing to the community. And, you know, these are 700 something people that are not easy to replace. You can't just go and say, oh, you know, just find me someone who is a stunt actor who can impersonate this character and sing. And, you know, these are really talented people who it's not easy to earn a stable living in entertainment. And if those opportunities to do that are gone here in Orlando, it's going to be a long time before this city recovers. You know, these folks have been told that if the shows that they were in do somehow come back before the end of 2021, they're eligible to be rehired. But honestly, you know, Disney would not be doing this if they thought that these shows were coming back in the near future. And I think some of them, you know, I think especially of like the citizens of Hollywood, which is something that's really special and creates truly magic moments. But you can't see it on a spreadsheet. It doesn't. There's no one's buying plush toys. There's no one who is. You can't associate a dollar amount directly with what they add to the parks.
Yeah.
But they add something, you know, kind of priceless.
Mm-hmm.
And even things like, you know, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor or Turtle Talk with Crush, which is not something that I personally would see every time. You know, guests would see that and have a experience that was different every time and is not something that can just be pre-programmed and not something you can just get on your computer screen at home. You know, it was really something special that is what separates Disney from a regular theme park. And it's what justifies Disney being able to charge, you know, $100, $150 a day, is that it's not just a bunch of roller coasters, that it's really talented people who have spent their life learning to make people smile. And this is going to hurt. You can go and read this list because it just hurts my heart to see the names. But, you know... this is kind of the roll call of the shows that you're not going to be seeing at Disney anytime in the near future.
I'll read it so you don't have to.
I'll just sit here and
cry
into my glass of water.
Fort Wilderness Hoop-Dee-Doo Musical Review, which I only got to do once.
Oh.
And now I'm deeply sad. Have Festival of the Lion King and Finding Nemo the Musical at Disney's Animal Kingdom, Beauty and the Beast Live on Stage, Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular, The Green Army Men in Toy Story Land, The Citizens of Hollywood, Jedi Training Trials of the Temple, Disney Junior Dance Party, all at Disney's Hollywood Studios, Turtle Talk with Crush at Epcot, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, and Citizens of Main Street USA at Magic Kingdom.
You know, the real wild card, the name that, if anything, you'd expect to see on this list that isn't, is The Voyage of the Little Mermaid. You know, a lot of people thought that show was dead when they took down the signage earlier.
To replace them.
Apparently, they were just refurbishing it, and you know, that show apparently... Now, I don't know the costs associated with running that and why that might stay around. Or if maybe that show will be added to the extinction list later. But I thought it was interesting of all the things, that one is not on the kill list.
Yeah. And then Rodney pointed out the Dapper Dans. Yeah, yes. They're not on this list because they have merchandise.
And, you know, I've heard some rumors about Voices of Liberty going away, but they are on the schedule for Christmas. So I'm hoping that they survive beyond Christmas.
Listen, I will chain myself to the American Adventure Pavilion if they get rid of them.
I'm right there with you.
They'll have to bulldoze me down. It just hurts because so many of my favorite Disney World memories are attached to these live experiences with actors. Like right after I got hired for my CP, I went to Hollywood Studios with my like not yet blue ID to get into the park. Mm-hmm. And I got pulled on as an extra for Indiana Jones. And it was like the most exciting thing of my life. Like watching the Disney World Full House special and seeing Steve in there. I was like, ever since I was a little kid, I was like, I want to do that. And I'll never forget it. And
I'm very glad I got to do that once about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Glad I took the time.
It's something else, but... And then the citizens of Hollywood are iconic.
We could do a whole episode. I actually did write an article for the Attractions magazine a few years back. And sadly, you know, the citizens of Hollywood were not what they used to be. Some of the longtime people had been forcibly retired, you know, several years ago.
Yeah.
But this is really the end of something that traces itself back to the World Showcase Players that used to be in Epcot doing improv theater and actually SAC Comedy Lab, which is in downtown Orlando. It's where Wayne Brady started and a lot of other stand-up performers. And that all of that traces itself back. C. Wilson McNair was the Imagineer who helped start all that, and it's not something that you can just flip the switch and say, okay, we're starting this again. Here's the script. These are people who spent decades, you know, working together every day to learn their craft and to, you know, figure out what works. And it's not something that's written down in a manual and that you can just hire someone tomorrow to replace them.
Yeah.
So, you know, our heart goes out. Please look into things like Cast Member Pantry or GOPAR with Greater Orlando Performing Arts Relief, Second Harvest Food Bank. Because these people are going to need a lot of support.
Mm-hmm. And then after all of this happened, as you can imagine, Diz Twitter spontaneously combusted and they put out an update, aka a statement, that basically says these shows could come back, but here's everything else that we have in the meantime.
Right. Yeah. And the could is extremely vague and not in any way legally binding.
Yeah.
You know, lots of things could happen. You know, they're putting on their brave face and they're listing the things that are happening. But when you have to lead with someone dressed up as Joy from inside out, standing on an empty field, in the middle of Epcot, as you know, your number one entertainment option, something's wrong, something's broken.
Yeah.
And if you've been there on a busy day and you've seen the lines of people who are standing in line, really long queues for rides, and would love to see have a show to go see instead, I'm blaming this all on the princesses who refuse to wear face masks.
How rude.
I feel like if the princesses would just get with the program and wear face masks, that we could all get through this.
I saw someone say, and it kind of calls back to what you said about entertainment being what separates Disney from the other theme parks, mm-hmm. that now Disney is like a Six Flags. It's akin to another theme park without roaming entertainment. And that's... Well, Yeah,
I can see, you know, obviously it's not just bare steel roller coasters, but it's, you know, Disney parks are not just about creating a beautiful set,
mm-hmm.
You've got to populate that set. You know, you can't just create a world. There's people who have to live in it. And, you know, the best Disney memories is not, you know, seeing Space Mountain or riding Rise of the Resistance, but it's having that one-on-one encounter with Mickey or Rey or whatever character it is that you know, you connect with. The less entertainment in the parks, the less life there is in the parks.
Yeah, the parks are a living thing. It's
absolutely.
Always got to be
absolutely
alive. And part of that is the cast members and the entertainment performers.
Yeah.
And...
Right. We better stop this, or I'm going to get angry and start chanting. slogans.
Go get your pitchfork and sharpen it. Yeah. But before we go, I would like to thank some listeners.
Yes, thank you.
If you don't know, Attractions Magazine has a subscription service where you can pick from three different levels, Basic Club or VIP. And if you are a Club or VIP subscriber, the week after you join us, you get your name shouted out on the podcast. So without further ado, I would love to give a big thank you to Thomas Price, Darren Jones, and Diana Ritchie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wish I had a soundboard because then I would play like clapping noises for you. If you're interested, you can also pick up our fall 2020 issue now in the shop at attractionsmagazine.com/store, and our winter issue is coming. We're working on it. It's happening. We had a meeting.
There was a meeting.
There was a meeting. It was socially distant over Zoom. It was fun.
I was so distant that I wasn't even online.
That's okay. We'll catch you on the next one.
I heard the deets.
Yeah. So Seth, before we go, if you would tell everybody at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
Well, as always, I'm on the Twitter and the Instagram at S. Kuberski, or better yet, at The UG Series. And my blog is at theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, is spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're watching this right now while we're recording, if you're here. What's up? Hey.
Deep breath. That was good. That was
That was good. I was going. I was just like, I'm just going to do it. And until next week, I hope you stay safe, wear your mask and wash your hands, but most of all, have fun. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.